The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'm going to be reading to you mainly from the AARP Bulletin for October 2018. And our programming today is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call them at 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. The Bulletin's cover article this time is on voting. Why you should vote. This year's midterm elections will impact older Americans for decades. Here's what you need to know to make a difference. So the cover story is Why Vote This Fall. This is one of the most consequential elections of our lifetime, political scholar Norman Ornstein recently told AARP editors about the 2018 midterm elections, and we wholeheartedly agree. There's the sheer scope of what we're voting for, but it's also the timing. We are at a moment in which important decisions need to be made on many matters key to the lives of older Americans. Some are obvious, like the future funding and structure of Medicare and our health care system. At the same time, many states are grappling with issues related to worker discrimination, retirement savings, underfunded pensions, Medicaid, caregiving, and more. Those we put into office could shape the resolutions of these issues for decades to come. AARP is 100% nonpartisan. We do not tell you who or what party to vote for. But we do want you to know about the issues facing older Americans, the ways each issue can be addressed, and the policies that our organization believes will best serve all older Americans. So vote for you, your loved ones, and America. In the pages ahead, you'll discover even more reasons why it's important and lots of resources to help you make informed, thoughtful choices. The editors. First, they give us 10 ways the midterm elections will affect older Americans. AARP experts detail the issues elected officials will be grappling with in the coming term. 1. Shoring up Social Security. Social Security's trust funds will fall short by 2034. If that happens, benefits would drop by about 20%, a 2018 government report says. Some elected officials have proposed cutting Social Security as part of deficit reduction. The results of congressional races in November could determine whether that gains momentum in Washington. And if Republicans still control Congress next year, Social Security's cost of living adjustment could face a major change. The Consumer Price Index, CPI, which determines increases based on inflation, might be ditched for the chained CPI, which assumes consumers will buy cheaper goods if relative prices change, so it substitutes less expensive things for pricier items, chicken, not steak. If that happens, Social Security benefit increases tied to inflation would fall. It compounds against you the longer you receive benefits, says Gary Koenig, Vice President of Financial Security in AARP's Public Policy Institute. 2. Rising drug prices. Prescription drug costs are increasing at a rate 10 times faster than inflation, and state legislatures, Congress, and the federal government are starting to take on pharmaceutical companies. At the state level, more than 80 bills to try to lower drug prices were introduced in 2017, according to the National Academy for State Health Policy, NASHP. But only a few have passed so far. President Trump, too, announced his plan to cut drug prices, although he dropped his campaign vow to allow the federal government to directly negotiate lower prices for Medicare beneficiaries. AARP supports allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices, permitting the importation of safe, lower-cost drugs, and speeding generic drugs to market. Drug prices are just way too high, said Lee Purvis of the AARP Public Policy Institute. The trends simply can't continue. And then three, Medicare funding. Medicare's trust fund will fall short by 2026, according to a report by the program's trustees in June. House Republicans have proposed a budget that would give seniors a voucher-type option to enroll in private health plans and proposed other changes that would squeeze $537 billion out of Medicare. Whether that proposal moves ahead could depend on who controls Congress after November. Lena Walker, Vice President of Health Security in AARP's Public Policy Institute, said, "If your legislator tells you that Medicare is going broke and requires draconian changes to fix it, ask more questions. For example, does his or her proposal simply shift more costs onto the consumer, or does it try to reduce health costs and cut wasteful spending?" 4. Medicaid, grow or slow it. The high degree of political divide between Americans is particularly well illustrated by how states are handling Medicaid. Some are seeking to expand coverage, others are making it tougher to qualify, want to trim budgets, or are creating more hurdles for residents to get health insurance coverage. For example, Kentucky tried to put in place a new rule this year to add work requirements to the state's Medicaid program, but is revising it after a federal court rejected the initial version. Similar plans have started or are scheduled to start in Arkansas, Indiana, and New Hampshire. Another 7 states are pursuing work requirement programs. Meanwhile, Utah, Idaho, Nebraska, and Montana have ballot initiatives to expand Medicaid to cover more poor people. Virginia buttressed Medicaid this year. Maine voters approved the expansion last year, but it has yet to be implemented. The makeup of state houses and Congress after November could prove critical to Medicaid's future. 5. The future of health insurance. The Senate narrowly failed to repeal the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, in 2017. AARP strongly opposed the action as it put older Americans not yet eligible for Medicare at risk of losing coverage if they had pre-existing health conditions. They were also facing an age tax, higher charges for insurance based on age, which is limited by the ACA. Without these protections, we would see a dramatic increase in the number of uninsured older Americans, says David Certner, AARP's legislative counsel. The outcome of House and Senate elections in November will help decide whether efforts to repeal the ACA return next year. 6. Bolstering retirement savings. With traditional pensions disappearing in the private sector, many older Americans count on 401k plans to help with retirement. But 55 million Americans, including many who work for small businesses, don't have work savings plans, according to AARP research. That's nearly half. That's where state work and save programs come in. They are state-facilitated retirement savings plans that small businesses can offer to their employees. People are significantly more likely to save if they can do it through automatic paycheck deduction, AARP research shows. 10 states have some type of work and save program, said David John of AARP's Public Policy Institute. Oregon's is underway, and California, New York, Connecticut, Illinois, and Maryland are getting them. 7. Lower retirement taxes. When AARP state offices poll members concerned about taxation of retirement income and Social Security benefits ranks high, says Barry Tabin Berger, senior legislative representative of AARP. The November election may be critical for several states in deciding how to handle taxing retirement benefits. Vermont just raised the limits on Social Security income that is exempt from state taxes, which will eliminate or reduce taxes for nearly 40,000 retirees. West Virginia's legislature agreed this year to study the issue of taxing retirement income, said Angela Vance, associate state director of AARP in West Virginia. People think it's unfair that they're paying taxes because they see it as income they've already paid taxes on, said Vance. 8. fixing pension shortfalls. Outraged teachers in Kentucky stormed the Capitol in Frankfort this spring to protest pension changes. A high school math teacher used the issue to beat the GOP's Kentucky House Majority Leader in the primary. Lawmakers around the country are looking to shore up pension plans, Berger said. In 2016, state pension funds had a $1.4 trillion deficit, $2.6 trillion in assets, and liabilities of $4 trillion, according to Pew Charitable Trusts. Changes could include measures to make defined benefit pensions more sustainable, or offering new employees hybrid plans which combined defined benefit plans with 401k-like plans. 9. More help for caregivers. America's 40 million family caregivers are getting some much-needed help from state governments, and that movement may spread if the midterm elections cause changes in some state legislatures that have been slower to act. 37 states and Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands have passed the CARE, C-A-R-E, Caregiver Advise Record Enable Act. It requires hospitals to identify, offer training to, and notify family caregivers before patients are discharged. CARE legislation was introduced this year in Idaho, Iowa, and North Carolina. And implementation of the CARE Act through regulation is pending in Arizona and Tennessee. Caregiving is a nonpartisan issue because it impacts all of us, says Jean Akias, Vice President of Livable Communities and Long-Term Services and Supports in AARP's Public Policy Institute. 10. Fraud targets. People who are 65 plus are 34% more likely to lose money to fraud than those in their 40s, says the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, which regulates securities companies. Some state legislatures have noticed. Last year, 24 states enacted measures on financial exploitation of older people, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. The November elections could keep that momentum going or slow it down. Domestic abuse of older people remains a vastly underreported problem, according to the National Center on Elder Abuse. Research what your state attorney general is doing about that. He or she may be on the ballot and can be held accountable. Now, here are some interesting numbers on who's at stake in the midterms. In the U.S. Senate, 35 of 100 seats. In the U.S. House of Representatives, all 435 seats. As for governors, in 36 of 50 states. And among state legislators, 82% of positions totaling 6,070 seats in 87 legislative chambers. Among state judges, nearly 300 state appellate judges, including 71 state Supreme Court justices, and in city governments, mayors of 26 of America's 100 largest cities, including Phoenix, Arizona, San Francisco, and Austin, Texas. And as for what's at stake among ballot initiatives, more than 150 measures are on state ballots, including initiatives on marijuana, redistricting, and taxes. Some examples. In Oregon and Washington, they bar local governments from enacting taxes on groceries. Oregon also would bar state taxes on groceries. In California, ballot initiatives would allow people 55 plus to trade up to more expensive homes without taking on the full weight of the new higher property taxes. It would repeal a 2017 gas tax hike that funds road and bridge improvements. A Nevada ballot initiative would amend the state constitution to deregulate the electricity market. A Montana initiative would raise the tobacco tax by $2 per pack to pay for long-term care services that help people age in place, programs to help people quit smoking, and other health care costs. There's an initiative in New Mexico that would issue $10.77 million in bonds for improvements, equipment, and vehicles for senior centers throughout the state. In Michigan, it would legalize marijuana for recreational use. In Missouri, a ballot initiative would increase the state's minimum wage each year, reaching $12 in 2023. And in Utah, it would expand health coverage to 150,000 low-income residents through Medicaid, using federal dollars and money from a 0.15% sales tax increase. An initiative in Maine would offer free long-term home care and social services to those 65 and older and to younger disabled people. The universal home care program would be paid for through an increase in payroll taxes on workers and businesses. And finally, in Florida, there's an initiative that would require a two-thirds majority vote of the legislature to raise taxes or fees or add new ones. And next, the bulletin gives us some resources you can trust. These four organizations are dedicated to providing fair, nonpartisan election information. VoteSmart.org. Project VoteSmart takes the view that voters are like Jack Webb from the TV series Dragnet. Just give me the facts. We provide data without interpretation that can be easily looked at and help you make up your mind, said co-founder Richard Kimball, who launched the site in 1988 after becoming disillusioned from his experience as a candidate for U.S. Senate. Unique to VoteSmart is its political courage test that surveys candidates for their positions on issues of importance to voters. The site relies on financial support from citizens and foundations. It doesn't accept donations from business, unions, or political parties. Next, they recommend RealClearPolitics.com. At first glance, the site appears to be for political insiders. The homepage is packed with aggregated stories from across the political spectrum. But click on the tab that says Election 2018, and you could find a wealth of information on specific races in your state or across the country. Interactive maps let you find the latest polls on your governor's or senator's race, along with biographies of candidates and the latest local news coverage. Another tab will take you to the site's extensive polling data and averages of all recent polls on major state and national races. Co-owned by its two founders and Crest Media, it relies on advertising for funding. Next, we have Ballotpedia.org. Leslie Graves launched the site in 2007. To provide all a person would need to successfully navigate politics and voting. I wanted it to be like the onboard computer on Star Trek, to effortlessly and quickly answer whatever someone wanted to know, she said. The site features 275,000 neutral, reliable articles written and curated by its staff about politics at all levels of government. It also documents state ballot measures and provides comprehensive ballot coverage for the 100 largest cities in the nation and the 200 largest school districts. Ballotpedia is sponsored by the nonprofit Lucy Burns Institute based in Wisconsin. And then last, PolitiFact.com. Begun by the Tampa Bay Times in 2007, PolitiFact checks statements made by members of Congress, the White House, lobbyists, and interest groups. It publishes its evaluation with a truthometer graphic that ranges from true to pants on fire. PolitiFact's mission is simple, to provide voters with accurate, independently vetted information so they can govern themselves in a democracy, said editor Angie Drobnik-Holen. PolitiFact won a Pulitzer Prize in 2009 for its coverage of the 2008 presidential election. It's owned by the nonprofit Poynter Institute and receives revenue from online advertising and grants. Next, they've got an article on the election and age discrimination. A new Congress could determine which protections older workers will have as they seek to find or keep jobs. For more than five decades, the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, ADEA, has helped older adults fight workplace bias. But court rulings over the past decade have weakened some of the ADEA's protections, just as the number of older workers is hitting historic peaks. Adults 55 and older will make up 25% of the U.S. workforce within 6 years, says the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, compared with just 11.9% of workers in 1990. Despite their growing numbers, older workers continue to face age discrimination at stubbornly persistent rates. A recent AARP survey found that 61% of workers over 45 said they have seen or experienced age discrimination in the workplace, nearly identical to the level reported in a 2013 AARP survey. The number of age discrimination complaints filed with the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission similarly has largely stayed level. 18,376 complaints were filed in fiscal year 2017. New rulings, new issues. In a major 2009 decision, the Supreme Court ruled that workers filing age discrimination complaints have to prove that age was the primary factor that affected the employer's decision, not just one of several elements. The law previously had been applied like other civil rights laws. Age bias could be claimed if it was any part of the employer's decision. The new standard is difficult to meet, especially when some older job seekers may not know what they are missing out on. A practice known as micro-targeting lets employers decide which people get to see their online help wanted ads. If you don't match the characteristics the company is looking for, you live too far away or aren't in their preferred age range, for example, you'll never even see that job posting. A group of older workers is suing T-Mobile, Amazon, and several other companies for using Facebook to recruit job applicants in this manner. Another ADEA weakness, AARP legal experts say, is the way it limits cash payouts. Unlike most other anti-discrimination laws, the ADEA essentially only allows people to win lost compensation, not punitive damages. Because victims are less likely to be eligible for large awards if their case succeeds, lawyers can be reluctant to take them on. Yet another obstacle in the fight against age discrimination, people often don't consider it to be comparable to other types of bias, such as race, sex, or sexual orientation. There is a sense that age discrimination is just not as harmful, says Kathy Ventral Munsees, a senior advisor at EEOC. Changes to the ADEA would require action from Congress. There's evidence that voters want legislators to step up to that task. An AARP survey of older voters showed that more than 9 out of 10 agreed that older Americans should be protected from age discrimination, just like they are protected from discrimination on the basis of race, sex, national origin, and religion. Check to see if your candidates for Congress back that idea. Then, cast your vote accordingly. Here are four questions you can ask your candidates on age discrimination. 1. Is age discrimination as bad as other types of bias? Do candidates agree it should be taken as seriously as racial, sexual, and other forms of prejudice? 2. How would you improve protections for job seekers? Most companies start their hiring process online, where it's easy to filter out older applicants. 3. Should victims be able to sue for more damages? Right now, the ADEA allows court victors to get only lost compensation, not punitive damages. 4. How would you improve job quality overall? Trends such as shrinking benefits and increased outsourcing hit older workers especially hard. And finally, here's a piece called Where We Stand, Be the Difference. The midterm elections are of vital importance. Make your voice heard by voting. As the midterm elections draw near, rarely has our country seemed so divided, our need to rediscover our shared values so great. Rarely has there been a more desperate need for our collective voice to be heard. That's why this past spring, AARP launched a full-scale campaign entitled Be the Difference, Vote, to educate voters on the issues and to urge you to show up at the polls. The people we elect in November will make policy decisions that, in large part, will determine the future direction of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other programs that will shape the lives of older Americans for years to come. On these issues, there are no partisan divides. A large national AARP survey conducted in July shows that older Americans are in strong accord on the issues that most affect their lives. About 9 out of 10 registered voters who are age 50 and over agree that it is important to lower health care costs, cut the price of prescription drugs, and make Social Security and Medicare stronger and better. These voters want their government to look out for their interests. There's overwhelming support for allowing workers to take time off to care for their families, and they want stronger laws to keep older workers from losing their jobs or facing other types of discrimination because of age. It's also vital to them that rules are set to protect them from financial advice that is not in their best interest. A 2017 AARP poll has also shown that most older voters strongly oppose some of the changes being considered in Washington. By significant majorities, they oppose premium support or voucher-type proposals for Medicare, and they reject limits or block grants for Medicaid, and they worry that Congress might cut programs such as Social Security. For these reasons, older Americans crave bipartisanship. They look for leaders who are willing to find common ground and are working to protect and strengthen crucial programs. AARP has a proud history of providing voters with information on where candidates stand on issues. Throughout this campaign, we have been sponsoring debates, hosting candidate forums, holding teletown hall events, and providing news and analysis. AARP does not endorse or oppose candidates. We don't have a political action committee or make donations to candidates or political campaigns. But we do urge all candidates to make their positions clear with voters. Throughout this campaign, we've sought to arm you with what you need to know to make informed decisions. Now it's your turn. On November 6, go to the polls, stand up, and protect what we've earned. Our future depends on it. Be the difference. Vote. And you can tell AARP what policies you think they should pursue to improve the lives of people as they age. Your ideas help AARP develop the policies that guide our advocacy across the United States. You can reach AARP by email at policy@aarp.org. They can help you by voice. If you ask your voice-activated smart speaker to open, raise your voice to hear AARP's take on issues. Online at aarp.org/vote, you can find stories. And in your state, AARP video voter guides provide information. And now, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I hope you'll listen next week. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and this program's generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call them at 919-782-4733. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time.